Hey everyone, my name is Maureen Fullen and I'm doing today's podcast of What Would You Have Done Differently, a little bit differently, in that I'm doing it by myself, not because I don't have any friends, and I've got lots of friendly dogs sitting around my feet at the moment, but the podcast is about professionals with 10 plus years of experience to be able to share something in their career or a moment that they think might help others, you know, and when if given the chance, when they think about that moment, could they have done something differently? And maybe, you know, the outcome could have been altered than what actually happened. And I've got a really cool story that is like multi-layered that I wanted to share. So I'm just going to interview myself. You know, it's just me. No one's watching this anyway. So who cares? All right. But this is the story of Mitzi. Now, Mitzi is, for those of you who don't know, is one of these. It is an inhaler cover. Ta-da! I invented it. Ta-da! Why did I invent it? I hear you ask. I don't have asthma. But some of you may know my sister passed away at 36 due to complications that resulted in an asthma attack. And I was like crazy. I mean, obviously, with you know, distraught for years over that. But I was really shocked to discover in the time after her death, how little there was to support people with asthma. And like 400 people plus die in South Australia of asthma every year. We never hear about it. There's no government funding and et cetera, it seems to be increasing. It's one of those crazy things. But for me, it was a really personal journey. I felt that I wanted to do something to honour my big sister. And yeah, and I sort of, you know, I sort of had this rough idea, this going, oh, I want to do something, but I didn't really know what. Now, roll on to when my son, who, you know, is 5 years old, he was two when she passed away, so about 3 years after. And about 5 years old, he started to unfortunately exhibit the same symptoms of chronic asthma, quite serious asthma. And for those of you who have dealt with someone with asthma in your family, you know it's a pretty tricky thing to juggle. Particularly when they're little, kids don't know like what's going on, you know, how they know they have to carry these like Ventolins or puffers as they get called. But it's a bit of a, it is actually a bit tricky to deal with. So we, Lawrence and I were trying to forge our way together going, well, how are we going to deal with this? And I think in many ways, you know, I didn't want my son to have the same experience as my sister of really having her life shrunk down by asthma. I wanted him to have a really cool management plan, but I wanted him to experience everything that you do as a kid, play sport, fall over, be free, ride a bike, all of that stuff. And I think my son actually did have that childhood, whether he liked it or not. Now, he decided that he wanted to choose soccer as one of the sports, you know, and he's got in his head, oh, nothing's going to hold me back. So he chooses soccer. Now, right now, if anyone here listening has kids with asthma, they're like probably inhaling, actually going, really? Cold winter sport on grass. Excellent. What a great combination with someone who's got the beginnings of what look like potentially chronic asthma. But I didn't want him to feel limited, so we had to find provisions to keep him feeling good and healthy but also safe. So we did that. But what happened is our house and car and school bags became littered with Ventolin, like these canisters everywhere, the blue ones, we got the maroon ones, like they're everywhere. And we became pretty good at, you know, making sure we always had one at arm's reach. Now, when the rare occasions he'd be playing soccer and it was sunny, which I can probably remember, you know, it was very few and far between. I'd be sitting there watching him when it was summery, and it always struck me, you know, like how these Ventolins were filthy and, you know, they'd be out in the sun, and I was probably a little bit quietly protective because of what had happened with my sister. And I started to just foster this idea, like what could we do better, what can we do better? Pretty much my mantra of life. And then this sort of came after a couple of years that I was sort of playing around with this, you know, an idea. I didn't know what. I was just opening myself up to a bit of inspiration. And then he came home from a particularly vigorous sports day or soccer day, shall we say, and he had this huge bruise on his thigh. and it had come from where he'd rolled on top of his Ventolin that he'd had to have quick stayed on his body all the time. And because Ventolins aren't wildly good for travelling around with, he always had to have pocketed shorts and have his Ventolin stuck in and all that type of stuff. And he had this wicked bruise. It was terrible. And it was about then that little festering idea became a, surely there's something I can do, the world can do that is better than this. And I remember just laying around thinking about it. And I was at a peak of my career at that point where I was like really creative and I'd just come off a sort of another product innovation, invention thing. So I was sort of in the world of prototyping and all that. So I thought, oh, I'll have a little side hustle. You know, I'll do something on the side, see how all that goes. Anyway, I had this idea. And the idea was basically, for all you Aussies, I'll open it. I want to make a stubby holder for my son with a hook on it that he can put, you know, either, you know, hanging on his school bag or whatever, but he can have some protection against the dirt. And we'll use decent quality neoprene so it's, you know, actually protects and insulates a little bit. And that was about as sophisticated as the idea came. I remember I was just talking to a couple of people about it. And I was like, oh, you know, it's not very sexy. And I'm like, no, it's not very sexy. But need is the mother of invention. So I thought, you know what, I'll just see if I can make one. I'll see if I can get someone to help me to make it. I had come off the back of my first product invention. So I knew we had to prototype, and I ended up finding this guy down in Tasmania who was super cool, super crazy as me. And I said, I explained to him what I wanted to do, and I asked him why. Rule number one, he did sign an NDA just in case it was an amazing success. And I explained it was going to be a proper product development. Anyway, I drew it up. I did some, you know, pictures, hand drew some, did some on the computer. Looked around, there was no products on the market, Googled it, there was nothing on the market that's, you know, that solved the problem. So I asked him, I engaged him, how much would it cost? And I think it was about $600 or something to get the whole thing sort of at a finished product level. Now, something as simple as this, you'd be amazed. We had to make choices at every point of like what the hook was going to be, like how heavy it was going to be, with a double stitch, single stitch. We had to put like try to get them stretchy enough so a kid could actually slip it over the Ventolin or Asmol, all those types of things. We had to go through this whole process. And it was wildly interesting. I thoroughly enjoyed the creative process. He was really cool. He was really good. Lesson number two, surround yourself with good quality people and who are just enthusiastic. As soon as someone starts talking or superior or they start talking down to you, just put them in the bin straight away. Invention needs like a bit of trust. You need better toss around ideas. So, and Sky was definitely he was as crazy as me. So, yeah, we got this product right now. So, NDA, good people. Continuing the good people lesson was a man came back into my life called Chad Hetherington. You might know Chad because he went to the States. He left Adelaide, built an amazing business, sold it to Accenture, has a lovely wife, lovely kids. And I was lucky enough, I got to be his mentor when he was doing the Say Yes Entrepreneur Scheme a million years ago. And then we crossed paths again and he sort of became my mentor on this. He'd set up a business that was selling products, funny enough, randomly, into the United States and we connected, which was great. And now is as good a time as any to apologise for being such a pain in the ass inventor. And somewhere along this journey, I'd gone from a grieved mother, sister to Van Gogh and thought it was like my amazing idea and it couldn't be compromised and people just don't understand. Yeah. As inventors, don't do that to people. Be open and flexible when someone gives you some feedback. Because Chad became pivotal in shaping the finished good part. So because I had this crazy idea I was going to sell it to other people and I was going to save the world, we had to make it commercially sensible. And he knew someone. He knew this group called BAMCO who was super cool to work with, tick, good people, enthusiastic, fun. And we had to finish this product, do a bit of market research. We also had to make sure the packaging was good. So BAMCO and the guys over there helped produce this and we also found a supplier in China to make this whilst Chad was knocking on doors over the United States. We tried to knock on doors in Australia. It was just all a bit shit, to be honest. Coles and Woolworths didn't even ring us back. You know, they're not they're Australia, though. It's a little different to the US. I'll tell you, like, not slamming Coles and, you know, Woolies too much, but they do put a lot of obstacles up to find the best products versus Walgreens and those who are the biggest, you know, drugstore in the world, who basically leave their doors open going, we just want the best products because then our customers are going to be happy. So they're like hunting all the time versus
if you have a really good product and it's proven, then you can like grace our shelves with it.
Two different, like such different vibes dealing with them. We chose to go to the Walgreens world because this was a fast, this is like cheap, nasty type of thing, with cheap product. And together, Bamco, Chad, me as the crazy inventor, teamed together really well. We all got along really well, which is always nice in product development. I had a laugh, but very focused. And I learned a lesson of work with people who are focused and people who are like you a bit as well. And we made this. We made these crazy things, which was cool. We made six different colours and it was very satisfying. Footnote to the story, during this period of time, my son gave up soccer and then went on to sports and he did really well in water polo, which is more appropriate for asthmatic people. But, yeah, anyway, I'm still stuck with this little invention I'm now in love with. And he did appear as a model. We took photos and all that stuff. But, yeah, anyway, different part of the story now. But we had this product and I had this idea that we should probably patent it, you know, lofty ideas. And I did. I patented it with the guys at Madden's. Anthony Lee, amazing guy. Also another really good guy, sensible, not wanky, grounded. He was absolute pleasure to work with. And we got it patented. Crazy, right? Got a patent for it. And which came in real handy because then Chad at the same time had snagged we got to the buyer's function at Walgreens. Now, let me tell you, Aussies, how the US actually let you pitch for work. You buy a spot. They hire a hotel. This one was in Chicago. You buy a spot for like $120 US for 15 minutes. You send your best broker in and they go in there and they just sell the benefits and they put it in words and terms that are meaningful for Walgreens, or in my case, Walgreens. And then Walgreens buyers on the spot give you an order or not. It's like Shark Tank on steroids. And the Adelaide guy, just fucking awesome, he nailed it. He rang me up and I remember I was about to go into a meeting. It was like early here in Australia. He goes, we just got an order for 36,000 mixies. I was like, oh, my God, that's crazy, 36,000. Now, you might be thinking that's like a lot of money. It's not, because the other lesson as an inventor, you have to understand cost of goods sold really well. So the cost of goods sold are all the bits that go into not just like the cost of this and the products and the actual, you know, materials and the zips and the, you know, the plastic packaging and all the people who do it. You also need to pay clip fees along the way as well, like fees to all the people who are helping you on this journey, on this road. So for us, we had to push up the volume. Definitely had to get the volume up to make this a viable solution and, you know, hit that dream of being able to get funding and donate money over to asthma, which was part of my big ridiculous goal. And we did that. We got the order for 36,000. Then there was a mad scramble. So I'm talking to the guy in China and we're doing our best to understand each other. We're like, boo, 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 you know, I've got to get these at a high enough quality for the US market. And I think I had like 15 days or something to get it from from China to the Walgreens port. You heard right, people, when you're playing on this stage, these companies own whole ports. And they have, so they go in, it's just this crazy logistics, like it's incredible. It's all held together by a supply chain app as well. also connected to the barcode. So from the moment your product hits their port, it gets coded and it's just incredible. And it's old. I've been doing business like that for like 40 years. It's incredible to watch and be a part of as well. Pretty demanding, but it was pretty crazy. So we got that, and I remember talking to the guy in China, and then as we were, I asked for a CV to make sure he wasn't some shonky, and I realized this guy had the same credentials as me. And I'm like, wow, they're pretty skilled over there compared to us. Anyway, that's another different part of the story. We then started into this partnership. We were getting like stuff flowing. I started to learn how to deal with American retailers. American retailers are a beast unto their own. They're at the top of the food chain of people who will savage you if you do not deliver on the order. And I remember one particular meeting in the middle of the night, I just got yelled at. I'm not really good at getting yelled at. I'm one of those, I sort of like get a bunny in the lights type of thing. But on this occasion, I'd actually had a couple to drink because it was like 2 o'clock in the morning and I'd literally been at the casino, don't judge me. But I had been, and I'd forgotten about the meeting. But I turned up to this meeting, you know, a little bit of Dutch courage in me. And this guy starts tearing strips off me. And my Port Adelaide-ness came out. I yelled back. I was like, ah. And culturally, even to this day, it astounds me it was the right thing to do. It was sort of like a show of strength. So weird. There's another lesson for you. Drink whilst you're at work, people. It works well. Anyway, we then had this ongoing partnership. We took orders, really cool invoicing system, complicated, but we got there. They used to send checks, old-fashioned US checks, which was weird. Had to learn about how to file taxes or not file taxes. We tried to do it in the States, but so many things I learned along the way, so many, and so many wonderful people. After about a year, 18 months of doing it, it became evident we were never going to be, you know, my son and I were never going to be billionaires off this idea. And the hard decision had to be made of, mate, you know, at these price points, it ain't going to be a viable part that's warranting the amount of energy and destruction. So we had to start to roll back. But the accomplishments along the way, I learned so much. I also learned about my capability of what I was capable of doing when my back was up against the wall. When I had to figure out how to get a barcode, an Australian barcode that would fit into the supply chain, I did it. And there were so many professional expansive moments that I'm really, 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 really grateful. The other thing is that we generated $25,000 in research. We donated for research to help, which definitely was a part of my personal motivation. And we also donated hundreds of these to Asthma SA, you know, helping them, all of that stuff. It was in their community trying to help create that market about looking after people with asthma a bit better. Now, question, what would I do differently? All of it. I wish I had the knowledge I have now, and I would have had that adventure with less stress. It was such an amazing adventure and I'm so grateful for it. But there were times where I was living on like 2 or 3 hours sleep, trying to go to work during the day, and, you know, I was trying to set up, I had like a little consulting slash contracting business, trying to do that. It was hard yakka, and obviously with a small kid as well. I think I probably could have just done it a bit more elegantly overall. If I had that, maybe I could have made more money. Maybe I could have turned it into something a bit better had I had, you know, this adventure to come at a different point. But who knows? There was more good in the story than anything. Last two things, though, I just want to add to this for you inventors. The reason we got the Walgreens gig wasn't because it was an amazing product and the community was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. It's because I had that patent. I got all gangster. And they had a competitive product. They had a competitor, so they would actually blind bid. You know, they'd make us both put our price and we're really the same product. And I said, I'm the only one who's got a patent in America. And if you spend $1 with them, I'm going to get them and we sent them a letter and said, if you infringe on our patent, we will get you. How gangster is that? So do your patents, get really good advice, really, really, really good strategic advice on what's appropriate for your IP if you are going to sell stuff. Last footnote. As I was doing this, I was trying to find an image of Google of Mitzi. I've just found a whole bunch of people who have knocked off at my product and they're selling them for $52 US. So I'm going to wind this story up and I'm going to find out. I'm going to see if we can like nudge them and maybe get back in the market. thank you for listening. It's a great story. I'm lucky to have been a part of it. And big call out to the guys at Madden's and Chad and the guy down in, Tassie who made all this stuff happen and the BAMCO guys and just everything. It was so much fun. It was so much fun. And I think a lot of inventors would benefit from sometimes just hearing like some of the not so glossy stories that go on. All right, that's my story. Thank you for listening.